This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Dumb FA Podcast, round 15, 2019. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who can't wait for the AFL to introduce the bunker for the score review system. It's Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. Now, we've had a lot of controversy surrounding our score review system. They don't know what to do with it. They're talking about the bunker, and I am pumped for a bunker.
You are pumped.
Can I just say that when has a bunker ever let anyone down? Because two of the best bunkers through history... Hitler's bunker.
Worked well.
And another famous Austrian, Joseph Fritzl.
Really?
Had a cracking bunker. Yeah, yeah. Not only, he used to watch all the local games and he would be the go-to. So they'd be like, Fritz, what do you reckon? He goes, offside. Obviously, it was soccer. And he would watch all the games and no one knew that. That's the bit that they don't talk to him, the positive
side.
Sure,
the contributions he made to the community. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, sure. So tell me about Hitler. So your great-grandfather probably was best mates with him at the time.
he got his first start in that bunker. And
in the Bundesliga.
Yes, that's right. And things were going great for 6 years. Uh-huh. They had a fucking cracking time in the bunker.
Uh-huh.
Nothing ever went wrong. And then the Red Army, who clearly offside, took over the bunker and then Hitler blew his brains out.
Yeah, the VAR is way off with the Red Army.
That would be the end result of all AFL reviews. If you get it wrong. Bang.
Oh, yeah, out
and
the back.
And your family.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
all of your staff's family.
Cyanide pills and the dogs. Everyone.
Just taking out the side. I actually went to the Hitler bunker in 2017, last year, year before that.
Yep.
And it's a car park now. It's the car park.
Yeah, they've made sure that it's not a travel destination.
And they get really annoyed when you try to put up a flag.
Yeah. Well, let's introduce
really
our guest who you may have heard already, Damien Callan, and thank you for coming back to the podcast.
Damo!
Oh, it's great to be here. Yeah.
Bombers fan, mate. How'd you go on Thursday night?
It was pretty exciting.
Now, you went?
Yeah, was that the game? Yeah, yeah.
And you guys, you cheated your way once again. Essendon cheating their way to victory.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. We were happy when that happened. We didn't want a pure, clean, sentimental victory.
Was there any awareness at the ground at the time when the...
Adam not,
Kennedy,
not much.
Yes, Adam Kennedy.
It is always different because they don't play all the replays straight away on the screen like they do.
Well, that one never got reviewed, so you wouldn't have even known at the ground because it wasn't until the coverage later on they were like, well, that was clearly touch, but...
My brother went, they're saying it's touch. He must have seen Kennedy kind of remonstrate at the umpire.
Which they did.
So we were kind of the only ones around us who even knew that because he just happened to see it. So that we actually started doing the countdown going, 9, 8, 7.
Bounce the fucking ball. Bounce the ball.
So you're kind of removed from the controversy. And it's like he's 50 metres away from the goal.
Well, that's the thing that they're saying, is it needs to be for goal line reviews.
Yeah.
And it wasn't brought in
for being
touched 50 metres away from the ball.
Yep.
Only Kennedy was the one who put his hand up, was like, oh, fucking touch that.
And have you seen Kennedy's fingers? They're like really weirdly shaped. Like, they're always like that.
They're at a right angle.
Not
conclusive.
Well, let's walk way back to the 2009 grand final when it was brought in when Tom Hawkins hit the post.
No, but it didn't come in straight after that, did it? It took years before the goal review came in, didn't it?
Well, maybe a year or two, but I feel like it might have been 2010, but it could be a junk apology next week if that's not correct.
Do you reckon it's been around for 7 or 8
back
years?
1909, Hayden Bunton.
he
reckoned he touched the ball because it snuffed out his cigarette. His left hand, and you can clearly see the smoke and the ash.
And the goal umpire, that was he was drinking brandy at the time. Yeah. Okay, so that's on him.
But just as he kicked it, you could hear the foop of the flash.
Yeah,
so that's it. They went back to check it, but they couldn't get it developed for 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Bloke was still under his bit of blank.
He was smiling. The photo was fucked up.
But they've had an absolute fucking shocker of a week. So they've sacked 11 of the 15 score reviewers. So they've dropped them down to 4, which means people are flying fucking everywhere yeah, to get the job done.
Yeah, 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 sure. So a few weeks ago, we talked about this on the pod about who are these people? Like, why aren't their names in the paper, like the goal umpire and the boundary umpire? Who are these people? And it turns out from a deep throat at the AFL that said that they're just kind of randoms. They're just random who work in the office. And they get $150, $200 to do the game.
No, but having said
with
that...
With no training.
But having said that, how much fucking training do you need? You go, oh yeah, there's the four bits of vision I need to see. Mm-hmm. It touches his finger, ipso facto, behind.
Yeah, okay.
Like it doesn't, do you need to be like a trained goal umpire? Well, do you need to know football in and out?
It happens very fast though. So they need to be, you know, competent workers. And at $250 for a day, they're not going to be competent workers. My theory is, because I won't say who they are.
$250 for a game though. Can I just say that? The money's not as bad as you say. They get travel.
2.5 hours maybe.
Yeah. $250,
that's not
50
bad. Bucks an hour, yeah.
What? Nah, it's rubbish pay.
You're not happy with that?
No.
What do you think they should be on? $2,000
$275 plus expenses.
I mean, do they get expenses? Do they get accommodation? Do they get their food at the game? Do they get a hot chips and a pie?
Well, they would definitely get accommodation, and they've got a chance to go and get themselves... See, I'm wondering where they're situated, because if they're in the media area, that is supplied with food.
You'd imagine they would be. Mm.
So they would come out, go out, talk to fucking...
Tim Lane.
Yeah, Tim Lane.
Have
duck.
A chat to Brayshaw.
Yeah, BT. What are you going to do for Roaming Brian tonight? Don't know, haven't worked it out yet. Okay, looking forward to it.
Get a feeling so BT does that on the fly.
So you reckon they're attached to the media department? Like, so everyone could know who they are, knock on the door and...
Oh, I would think so. Otherwise, where are they situated? Yeah, how many corporate private boxes are they? And what access to... vision do they have? Because they were saying they never saw Adam Kennedy touch that goal the other night.
Well, that's the thing. Do they have access to the Channel 7 Foxtel coverage, or do they have
court sketches? They got court sketches.
Yeah.
Look, I've heard, you know, they've been very secretive about it, because like it should be, you know, you see, oh, this the umpires are, you know, Margetts, Chamberlain, Kennedy, and it should be score reviewer.
Fucking
and put their name down. And I reckon my theory is that the AFL are giving jobs to blokes who are unemployable. Former players are unemployable in the AFL industry.
Well, fuck.
So people like Reece Jones, David Reece Jones,
Ricky Nixon's up there.
Ricky Nixon, Ben Cousins.
I can see what Ricky Nixon's on there. Did you see that? Oh, sorry, I was on the internet.
I like it how you say the AFL gives jobs to blokes that are unemployable. That basically makes up 99% of the people employed by the AFL.
True.
Lethers, get in here, mate.
All the blokes are about to retire early for concussion. put them in a room with like blinking fluoros.
But then
white
then,
noise.
Then they used the edge technology on the Friday night game between Adelaide and Geelong down at Grievous Bodily Harm Stadium.
Yep.
But I couldn't see how the edge, like they showed, you know, like the Snicko line.
Yeah.
And it looked like about four lines, like the ball had gone over, then come back, then gone over again. It didn't look conclusive to me. Yeah. So I don't think the edge is working either.
Yeah.
I don't think I've actually seen the edge being put to work this year.
So it was Friday night. It was the first time they used it. And they went, the edge made it. But
that's because the goal, unlike a cricket bat, which is a dense
thing,
a football goalpost is hollow. So it just goes...
But then they've got the padding around it. And then the goalpost's taped to the back of that.
So
we're still using
soft.
Tape. We don't have actual things attached to the back of the goalpost.
It's a bloody nightmare. Do we get rid of it though? Like, do we get rid of it now?
Score review.
Yeah,
I think we need to.
Like, we all talk about how, you know, this will be awful in a grand final, but fucking watch it happen in a grand final.
I reckon it's going to be great.
And
in
it will
grand
be
final.
Taken to the Supreme Court.
For someone who's not going to be in a grand final for quite some time, I cannot think of anything better than a grand final being ruined. Unless it means a Collingwood victory.
Right.
Like if they had to come back and said Dom Sheed's goal last year.
Hit the post.
Umpire's decision. Oh, no, it was touched. You're like, fuck you.
Look, I need the $250. I'm probably, biased here.
I want to know who these people are. Just so I can name and shame them, okay? That's all I want.
Mm. I reckon parade around. Like during each quarter, just so you have a go. You go, you.
Yeah, for
you,
sure.
You fuck it.
They have a scale.
What about they put two cheer squad members, one from each team in the room. Let them thrash it out.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Okay, so Joffa and someone else and Trout and someone else at a Richmond-Collingwood game.
Yeah.
They get to go in there and they kind of work on the footage.
Yeah.
But also the thing I find interesting as well, the footage is never any good. If you watch the NFL and you can see their coverage and you see their
it's incredible
review, like it's crystal clear, slow motion. Why don't we have that? Like, why don't we have the same coverage as that? Like, you can see like a player like, you know, catch a ball, bobble it up, and then catch it before it hits the ground. And they can pinpoint that.
They've got NASA working on it, and we got a Harvey Norman to
get it. We've got brashes.
Yeah. But even like our goal line technology, the cameras on the post are shit house.
You don't quite know where it is.
No, exactly. Yeah. And they don't look down to the ground. They just look up kind of high, and you go, what happened at the feet? You can't fucking see that. There's so many dead spots. If you were in prison and you need to shank someone, the AFL football ground would be the ultimate place to do that, because it's just fucking dead pockets.
You just do it behind the point post.
Yeah, exactly. All of a sudden, Tony Mockbell's bleeding to death from a zucchini, and you're like, how did that happen? You're like, well, we looked at the review. The Edge said
nothing.
Can't
say a thing.
It's all fine.
Yeah.
Now, Damo, you are a Bombers fan. What are your feelings towards Woosha? Is he the man forward for you?
I don't reckon he's had long enough.
Okay, so you're happy.
Given the special circumstances, I'm giving him 17 years.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Give him a good run at it.
Not like, you know, it's not like, you know, Richo, he's had a fair crack.
So you think Richo's done, even though he's done not a bad job this year for the Saints?
Yeah, they just don't play with any freedom.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And Essendon, when we play at our best, it's pretty good.
That is very true. Your best is fantastic.
It's really fun to watch too.
But it must be frustrating as a supporter, because your bad is like really fucking bad.
Yeah, it's because we're not that good. We've just got a particular game plan that sorts some teams out.
Yeah, okay.
What was interesting to watch, you know, getting into serious diagnostics here, was the Giants are a clearly better team. They're clearly bigger bodied. They muscled us inside. And we just kept hanging on, just like a little terrier biting on their ankle. And they were just like trying to shake us the whole game. And eventually it was just like, they just suddenly felt like there was more of us. And they ran over the top of them. And that's the first time that's happened against a really good side.
Yeah.
Considering you kicked 6 goals at 3-quarter time and then booted 6 in the last, it was almost like you went to the point where you're like, oh, fuck, we've lost it. Let's just go for broke. Which is what almost Essendon needs to play all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. They went hard.
What's your relationship like with the club now? In terms of after all the turmoil, are you as big a fan as you were before it?
Oh, I had a period. My brother and I are members and have been for a long time. And if it wasn't for him, I would have cut up my membership.
Mm-hmm.
Not microwaved it. It's a lot easier.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, and it looks better. Like the bubbling is fucking cool.
You would have got a lot of retweets, mate.
Yeah, I would have. Actually, I would have cut them in half and made earrings out of them just to show that I can't use it.
So your brother got you through it?
Yeah, a little bit, just because it's something that we love doing together. And he was a lot more like, la, 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 you know.
Were you embarrassed by the club at that point?
I was totally embarrassed.
Yeah, okay.
And I remember I got a phone call at the time when I was kind of the angriest, but just been kicked out.
From Herdy? Saying, can you burn some stuff? I need you to shred some shit.
Might have been Herdy. Might have been pretending to be a work experience kid.
Yeah.
But it was just after we'd been kicked out of the finals.
Yeah.
And got a call from the club. And it's the first time the club had called. And I thought, all right, good. Maybe this is their...
Yeah. What are they saying?
Our mea culpa.
Yeah.
Wait, did you see their number come up? It said Essendon Football Club. Like, surely when you got into the conversation, you knew it was the club.
Yeah.
It was from a burner phone, mate. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I'll get my phone records and I'll come back next week. Anyway, the guy started talking. After a while, I realised he knew nothing about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what are you ringing for, mate? He had no idea how long I'd been a member and all that sort of stuff.
Really?
And I said, what are you ringing about? I just cut the chase. And he's like, oh. And it turned out he was ringing. They were raising money for a high altitude chamber at the club. And I just lost it. I just went,
yeah.
You're seriously ringing me to ask me for money for another thing that can physiologically alter the playing list of the Essendon Football Club?
Well, it's because the way they were getting high normally wasn't the same, so they wanted to get it in a room.
My second chance to have a go at them, they told us this was happening, there was going to be a door knock. There actually was the discussion.
And did they get the high altitude room? Do you know whether it's up there at Tullamarine? I've never seen that, like, on any of the, you know...
None of the coverage. I know Collingwood would have one. Yeah, they got one upstairs.
There'd definitely be one out at Tom
Yeah,
Marine.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're so close to the airport.
Yeah. Half the time it's used for storing drugs from the airport.
Yeah. And so it took a while for you to kind of, for them to win back your faith.
And then I had a knock on the door from the club and it was Mark Neild.
Mark Neild, the coach?
Yeah.
Turned up at your house?
Really?
Like, knocked on my door.
What? Asking for work?
Did you, like, do you need food? I've got blankets
before
out
he got
the back.
Last year, and he went.
Mark Neal showed up at your fucking house.
Absolutely, knocked on the door.
No fucking way.
And I went, oh,
so you live in the inner north of Melbourne?
Yeah, I was living in Thornbury at the time. And he said, oh, we're just doing a door knock. And I was kind of ready to...
Hang on. Start from the start.
Yeah,
what time of day? What time
down,
of day?
Okay. Yeah.
This is fucking the greatest thing I've ever heard. Mark Neal came
showed
to your
up
house.
Your house.
I reckon about 2:30 in the afternoon.
On
midweek.
What day?
Midweek.
Yep.
Midweek.
Because Mark Neal was driving my Uber earlier today.
Yeah, but I understand that because he's unemployed.
I didn't tip.
Unemployed.
No, two stars.
I've got a follow-up to this about his employment.
Too much twitching.
Mark
three
Neal.
Stars.
Okay.
And he just...
time of day. Have we got that yet?
2:30. Let's say 2:30 on a Wednesday.
Yep.
Knock, knock.
Knock, knock.
You open the door.
I open the door.
Yeah.
And
did you recognise him?
Straight away. He was wearing Essendon gear, but I recognised him.
Dude.
And he said, okay, it's Mark Neal. Yeah, I know you, huh? We're just going around, talking to members.
So talking to members. He knew your address because you remember. He wasn't randomly going through Thornbury.
Fucking hell, man. How have we not heard this story for like 3 years?
This is the greatest thing ever.
And for some reason I knew it was coming. Like the club had sent an email saying, we're going to be
Mark Neal, it's on the way.
But they didn't say who, so I just thought it'd be a work experience kid. Anyway, we just kind of in there. I said, mate, why are you here?
Did you invite him in?
No.
It's his Mark Neal. You're like, oh fuck.
We had a good chat though. I just said, why are you here? And he went, oh look, to be honest, they've just kind of we've divvied it up, and I live in the area, so
sure.
I'm just going to the Essendon members and kind of Northcote.
Could you imagine being Bombry a coach and being told that you got to go door knocking? I'm not doing that.
And then think about like where Woosha would have been sent off to at the time, or maybe even Hurdy at the time sent off to whatever.
I'm assuming, because I said who else, and he said, oh yeah,
Mark Harvey,
all the coaching staff are kind of doing it.
Oh dude, that's so demeaning.
Yeah, so he was really lovely. By the end of the 10-15 minute, we chatted for ages.
Yeah.
And we just went, oh, good luck, mate. Yeah, good luck with the rest of you.
And he was
we'll see you in the area.
He was fishing for cash, or he was like just fishing for like.
No, it was genuine, like, tail between the legs. We've fucked up. And
yeah, wow.
The day after he got sacked.
That is a really nice thing to
it
do.
It was
though.
Really nice.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Don't turn it into a good thing. We want to hang shit on Mark Neal, right?
So this
no, no, I'm just talking about Essendon as a whole. Like that's a side that's gone. We have really fucked up.
Yeah.
Like we need to get back to. Do you reckon they did to all members, or just like
I don't know.
You've been there for a while?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
and they've gone, fuck, we gotta get Callanan on the good books.
Get Callan. Yeah, he didn't know who I was. Like it wasn't like a.
He doesn't want skid ass.
He might do some free corporates for the president's lunch.
The day after he got sacked, I was at Officeworks in Preston. And I got out of the car and I looked up.
Weren't
Mark
we all?
Neal was getting out of his car.
It's like the day when JFK got shot.
Yeah, we all remember it.
I remember it. Yeah. I was off work.
Not the day off. Do you remember we were the day after Mark Neal got sacked? Anyway, I saw him. He got out of his car. And because of that conversation, I kind of went, I felt like we were mates.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I saw him and he just had his head down just like, I went, oh, he just got sacked.
Yeah.
And you're going into office work.
Well, he's probably
putting out your resume. Oh, this is you poor bastard. So I just let him be.
They've got a thing at Officeworks now where you can rent an office space.
Really?
Some of them, yeah, some of them. You can rent an office space. And I think what you do actually.
Just on the display furniture.
Well, it's a weird thing. It's
just
like,
thinking that'd be
it's
great.
Like a little table and chairs, stuff like that. You can rent it. But they don't put anywhere where you're also meant to kill yourself immediately afterwards.
Now that, he's saying that's you can rent office space. He just sits on that display furniture and pretends has big high power.
That'd be confusing though.
Oh, which one of my printers do you want to print it out on? mate, they're not yours. We've asked you to leave, Mr. Chandler.
So, Dami, you were at the Community Cup with us last week.
Yeah.
Went to the Community Cup. All around Australia now, the Community Cup.
Yeah,
so,
it's fantastic. So it's
for RecLink?
Yes, it is
RecLink.
For RecLink.
There's what, about 15,000 down at Victoria Park?
There was 11,071.
Oh, really?
Down at Vic Park. It was a very frigid day in Melbourne last week.
It was really cool, though. I actually had been Skithouse alumni, Damo. I told a story, I think, to Damo and maybe to you to Adam and Neuber maybe last week. That we filmed the show in the Collingwood change rooms back in about 2003 for a short time, like one day. And I remember seeing Bucks and Mick Malthouse walking around. We were in the gym basically. And I had to play a cop that day.
Yep.
And so I was in a police uniform. And then I went round to the social club just to look at the Premiership Cups because I love looking at the Premiership Cups. And you walk in there and there's about 30 blokes that were like, oh, fuck, the cops are here. Fucking hell. Let's get the fuck out of here. You generally see the reaction of the people. I'm like, no, no, shitty actor, shitty actor.
Shitty actor.
Not a cop.
Yeah. If you want a good idea of where Damo and I sit in our relative lives, so we were standing there watching the footy, a Community Cup, halftime was coming up, and Damo said to me, "Did you bring a pill?" And what was my response to you?
What kind? Now?
Yeah,
here?
What do you want a pill for? Yeah. I thought he wanted like fucking MDMA. He wanted to kick a footy around.
Kick a footy.
Like, yeah. It took me about 20 seconds. Like, oh, fuck a footy, of course. Now that's a good idea.
But you've played a couple of times in the game?
I played 1 year, yeah.
So for those who aren't aware of it, it's for basically inner city Melbourne kind of community radio versus the
Rock Dogs of the SB traditionally.
It's a surprising number of people go and watch people play a sport they're no good at. And you don't really know who they are.
How did you get in? Who do you play with?
I played with the Megahertz. At the time, I used to do a weekly segment on Tracy Hutchison's show. Also, at the time, I was on... And Sam Lane also used to do a segment on that show. And it was when I was on Before the Game with her. And so Channel 10 actually filmed us running around.
And can I just say, you would have been one of the more dominant players in that team. Because there are some people there who... Don't play footy.
Because Damo can play.
Yes, absolutely.
To put the junk timers out there, he can play.
I did win the Steve Connolly medal.
Did you really?
For best player on the ground.
Good on you.
I mainly say that because of the kind of ignoble way it was presented. Rowan Connolly presents it. It's his brother, Steve Connolly. Rest in peace, guitarist for Paul Kelly back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's so Rowan judges it and presents it every year and... kind of off mic, he went, "Geez, you played well." And then he put the medal around my neck and it was just a very cheap ribbon with a, you know, crappy, you know, just a crappy trophy shop thing you get in Maidstone.
You chucked it back at him. And
it went, he put it on me and as it went on, just the weight of it hitting my neck, the medal fell off the ribbon, hit the ground and then perfectly rolled as a coin would and rolled. And I was down on my hands and knees crawling after it. And it fell off the stage and into the mud. And by the time someone had extracted it from the mud and handed it back to me, they'd already moved on. I just got ushered off the stage. So I didn't even get to raise my hand or like make a speech or anything. It was just like, "Yeah, get off, mate."
I think that's fair enough.
Get off.
I think actually this year they awarded two medals. They awarded two Steve Connolly medals.
Yeah, I think they now do a female and a male.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. But you talked about me last week about they had a kind of 15-meter barrier around the goal square.
Yeah, it was in the early days of females playing in it. And the females could go anywhere on the ground, but there was a male exclusion zone around each goal. So you could, it was which was it was fine, but it did as an experiment. I think it was only used once. Mm-hmm. You just had to kind of like pull up short. You'd run into an open goal and have to turn sideways. And,
yeah, right.
Yeah,
kick around the body. Mm. Now you're a journeyman of the football world. How many teams did you play at?
Like including juniors, probably about six.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and you played up north too. Is that right?
North.
Yeah. Did you play at up north?
Oh yeah, I played in Darwin. Yeah. My two. Kind of my two most fun years were I played a year, played for the North Darwin Magpies, we're now the Palmerston Magpies.
Mm-hmm. How loose is a Darwin league? Like a lot of people on the run up in Darwin.
Oh, yeah. Not a lot of blokes playing one of their real names.
Yeah.
And is that the traditional grass or do you get to play on the kind of red dirt grounds?
Oh, no, it's Darwin's. Darwin, they're lush.
Okay.
Like you play in the wet.
Yep.
So it'll just like team with rain for 10 minutes and then... Sun will come out and it'll be dry again.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, conditions were fine. But I played in one thing called the I played against the Red Dirt teams in. We had this thing called the Umpires Carnival where all the leagues, so the Tiwi Islands, the Central League and the NTFA, and there was like an association NT FA or something.
Yeah.
They all play like a round robin.
Okay.
And so I played against Immaluth, one of the Tiwi Island teams, and we were creaming them, but half of them were in bare feet.
Mm.
And most of the crowd were Tiwi Islanders.
Yeah.
There was about 2,000 or 3,000 people there. And the last quarter, they just kind of came over the top of us. And they were 5 points down. There was seconds to go. Ball came out of the centre. Bloke in barefoot just stood on another bloke's shoulders. It sent off forward, took a mark, and then kicked a torpedo goal after the siren to win. And it's my favourite moment in footy ever. We lost by a point. But – over 1,000 Tiwi Islanders just ran onto the ground and just swarmed and just picked this bloke up. And we were just kind of like caught in the maelstrom of it. And that kicked us out of the comp too.
Yeah.
You know what I don't like about the fact that they don't wear shoes or boots is it costs the boot stutter a game, a job.
Yeah.
And okay. I think that you know, oh, it's all great. They don't play in boots, but, you know,
I compensated on the day. I wore two pairs of boots.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
good. No, that's
at the same time.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Is it weird playing against someone in no boots? Like you go to take a mark, or you just, you know, you fucking go to run, and you're thinking, I'm going to smash someone's feet.
No, they were just too quick. You weren't getting near it. Okay. It's a very open style of footy, which kind of suited me. I was young then.
Oh, yeah, outside player, are you?
Yeah. Yeah. I was 21. I was quick. And it kind of, the game style suited me. There was no one doing tackle stats.
Yeah, right.
There was a lot of body on body, particularly when you played against the really good teams like St Mary's, but who beat us by 40 goals one day.
40?
Yeah, I was playing on Michael Long's brother on a wing, and I reckon easy he had 13 or 14 touches on me in the first quarter without even trying. And the coach moved me to the other wing. I played on another bloke.
You played Morris Rowley's brother.
he was a white fella, and he got 16, 17 touches on me.
So he had negative 30 at half time.
And then I did my ankle early in the third, really early.
Deliberately?
Well, psychosomatically, it was like, you know, when I don't know if you've done an ankle, and they really hurt at first, and then 5 minutes later you go, actually, it's not that bad. Yeah, and I happened near the bench too, so I kind of got chaired off, like not putting any weight on it. And about 5 minutes later I had to go up to Ian Smith, the coach, and go, it's actually all right.
Yeah.
And he was really pissed off. So he put me in the back pocket.
Not chaired off the ground by your teammates going, yes, he's fucking injured.
he put me in the back pocket as punishment, where I got a lot more touches because it was just there all the time.
Now let's talk about your film, The Merger. Came out last year.
Mm.
You want to set the scene for the junk timers out there?
So The Merger is based on a solo show of mine about a country footy club that is about to fold. And
two shows did it become? There was a first one and a follow-up?
Yeah.
I saw both, didn't I?
The original was called Sportsman's Night.
Yeah.
And it was based on...
I saw it at the Adelaide Fringe.
Yeah, right. Up in the Belgian beer cafe. Yeah. Sportsman's Night was loosely based on the true story of the Gordon and Hepburn footy clubs. They had this big spat, and there was this fight in the kids' playground before the game. And
awesome.
Blokes from Gordon got put in hospital, and I was watching the news one night, you know, tabloid news, and I saw the club president, this big, you know, bombastic, you know, bloke had clearly been the coach and a player and captain in his day, had his grandson with him, and he just went, what's this little bloke going to do now? There's no footy club on a Saturday. And he looks at his grandson, who's not looking, he's just looking at this, and he's just giving a clip behind the ear. So I created a show based around that, about this club that were, you know, they were basically, it was a sportsman's night to raise money for the legal appeal to get him off the hook. And then I got approached by Regional Arts Victoria to write a show about racism, and they said, you've already got the characters. And so The Merger became the sequel.
Pro or anti?
That's what Mooney said to me. What Mooney said to me when I got the commission, because it was a fair commission. He went, so which way are you going to go? How are you going to address racism?
I mean, the initial title was called Stop the Boats, but apart from that.
So that's how it started. It had a very cinematic style, because there's a little boy character, Neil, in it, who's making a documentary about the club. And so I got encouraged to look into making a film, and then eventually started working with director Mark Grentel, and took 5 years, but it came out late last year.
Fantastic. And it's gone all around the world now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's weird. It's so weird. It was playing all around the world during Refugee Week. It's just gone. In an Aussie Rules footy club in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
Organised this massive refugee.
That's cool.
And that's really happening. And I was over in Dublin and Glasgow for their film festivals, where it was brought us over. And then we also played and toured around Ireland. We got approached by the Gaelic Athletic Association about potentially making a sequel.
Great.
Not a sequel.
An Irish adaptation.
Yeah. And then the Australian Department of Foreign Affairs kind of got really interested. And
really? So Peter Dutton caught up.
Dutso was in.
Check your background.
It's all the people who work for him, for those people who want a good story about, you know, a positive message about refugee coming out of Australia.
Right.
So they were just mad for it. Like, so they were organising these events where I was talking, and they'd bring all these kind of, you know, refugee activists and also, yeah, kind of was, it was a really surreal experience watching the film in Serbian, in Belgrade.
Yep.
With all these, you know, but also they love film, particularly in the Balkans. They're mad for it. Like, yeah,
oh, aren't they?
Filmmakers are like poets. As soon as they found, people would find out it was the filmmaker, it was like, oh,
yeah, well, really?
Yeah. Do you think they knew what Australian rules was?
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of made me realise how much it doesn't matter that much. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the sport, like particularly for the people who had no idea about it, they just watched the story and it could have been any sport. Well, I mean, like, it has its, the film has its idiosyncrasies because of the beautiful world of AFL, and in particularly in the country and the canteen lady and all that kind of culture surrounding it. But it kind of just didn't matter. There was stuff they didn't get.
Oh,
no one knew what clinkers were.
I heard in the caliphate they loved it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they've still got canteen ladies over there.
How long?
ISIS guys need a fucking hot dog and sauce.
How long would it take to film a film like that?
It's a 5-week shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in a low budget film.
That's really quick though, isn't it, for a film?
Yeah. Oh, look, for a independent feature, it's standard. Some try and do it even quicker, but doing any quicker that year, you'll lose your mind. Every day is money because it's a long location. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Every day that the entire cast and crew were in a place, it's just more money.
And you weren't the director of it, so how was it for you to stand back as the creator of it, to go hand it over to someone else, but to be in it because you're a major part of it, to go, oh, I don't know about that. Was it like very, you know, would he come to you and say, I'm thinking of, you know, shooting something this way or this tone about this bit?
Oh, look, not really, because Mark and I were
coming to my trailer again.
Yeah. I had a rickshaw.
Did you have a trailer?
Pulled by Stan Magro.
did you actually have a trailer?
No.
Yeah.
No. Look, Mark, the director, and I worked really close together. We'd worked on a previous film, which he'd co-written and directed. So we already had a kind of... Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on, mate.
Yeah.
What do you think, though... Sorry, I'll let you.
The end of that question is, it was fine because he was across the script.
We were constantly...
He was across every change. He didn't write it, but he was making suggestions, and so by the time we filmed, I decided to actually, because I had so much to do. I was lead actor and co-producer, and caterer. I was doing catering as well.
Working in the canteen.
Stan Magro got the flu, had to pull my own rickshaw for a while. So I just decided I didn't want to. If he came to me, I would usually. It was usually footy technicality stuff.
Yeah, okay.
He played footy himself. He was actually a decent footy player. Could have, like, you played with Cam Mooney and in Wagga and was like on the chance of being, you know, maybe on the cusp, on a list. But he get converted to the arts and never looked back.
Turned to the Australian film industry for that lucrative dollar.
That happens a lot.
Can I tell you? I can ask you.
Claudia Carvin, Gunful Fort.
After 5 years of in, you know, development stuff like that, what are you feeling when you know, first time they go rolling action for that first shot?
It was pretty emotional, actually. The first day, turning up and seeing, like
it's there.
You're just seeing the world that you've written, created, like creating a fake Bodgy Creek. And, it was pretty. And my old man had passed away about 2 months beforehand, and it was that bittersweet thing of like, I can't tell him. It was a bit of a roller coaster, but it was pretty amazing.
And it's available on the kind of all the streaming
services. Yeah, you can see it on Fox Now, Google Play, iTunes.
Or you can torrent and sell it.
There's a good copy on YouTube at the moment, which I put up.
Yeah, cool, sweet. Actually, Junk Thomas, if you want to email us, we can send you the link.
No money for pass hands.
Now, I know we're talking Damo up there, but speaking of true heroes, I did the MCG Stadium Stomp this morning.
You did. So take us through that, man. What's the go?
So basically, it's an empty MCG, so it's like a Hawthorn game. And run around each tier and you just run the stairs.
Of the whole ground?
Yeah, 7,600 stairs.
No way.
And can I just say, some of the peasants sit really fucking high up in that ground. Like the top levels.
Wait, peasants like as in like, what do you mean peasants? Like
people can't afford, you know.
Oh, okay, up the very top. Okay.
The scums.
So you run up every stair and then what, walk down again? Or?
So you run up Up the stairs, across the back of the bay, down the stairs, across the front of the bay, back up.
And so each time you go into get into the bay, is there a bloke in a red coat checking your ticket?
Yeah, he's like, mate, you know, blonde here. And you're like, mate, I got to run in the MCC.
You got to get scanned with the wand thing before you go in.
I've never spat as much in my life as soon as I got into the MCC. I was like, I'm collarless.
Did you fucking love it though, mate? I did feel good. Did you stop off some foie gras while you were there?
The Powerade was particularly delicious in that part of the ground. But there was one part of the ground I went up to. So in the top tier, and I'd never been up that deep. So it goes, you know how you're sitting, like, you know, C7 is your seat. It goes up to Z, then it goes AA, BB,
all the way
up to HH. Mm. So there was one point where I was at HH23, which is in the pocket of the southern stand, and you cannot see the forward part of the ground.
What, you're hidden behind the scoreboard?
Yes, you are. Yeah, you're hidden behind the scoreboard.
It's like watching a World Cup at Lord's from an apartment next door.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
So you have to look at because the other screen is opposite you, and that's the only vision you've got, and it's fucking a lot of the ground, like from half forward down to the
just goals. Can't see it.
Cannot see it.
But so, I suppose only in a grand final people would be sitting there, really.
I would think so, yeah.
When you kind of have to. But also, to why not put a screen
it's
there
also where they put
watch?
Well, I guess you can see it straight across.
It's where the score review is too. They don't even have... They actually don't use monitors.
Yeah, it's just probably not too far from.
But I'll tell you what, fucking running that much, my legs were jelly. Like, I was cooked.
All that hills.
What time did you do?
Hour and five.
Hour and five?
Yeah.
It took that long?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and it was... I'm surprised it's that.
Sure. It was constant.
And who? What would the winning time be?
Did they release you in like
in waves?
In waves.
So every 15 minutes, and so the wave in front of us was the what do you call them? The people that help other people, the rescue people, you know, firemen and ambos and all that sort of shit.
Losers, do-gooders.
Yeah, exactly, do-gooders. Yeah. And you would catch up to a wave, and so then you'd have to slow down a little bit to get past people, and then there'd be a wave in front of that where, because a lot of people were just walking it.
Yeah, sure.
You'd just be like, and then, you know, the people in the tutus, and you're like, you're fucking regretting that outfit now, aren't you?
Yeah, gotcha. Like they're fundraising. Did you fundraise or did you?
Yeah, the whole thing's for leukemia.
Yeah, okay.
Did they have like at every staircase or, you know, the exit point, a bloke standing there with four beers and a tray looking pretty sick? Did you have to run around him?
Yeah, he was there the whole time. Was there a
behavioural awareness officer walking around keeping a check on things?
He did the whole thing.
I did the Eureka run about 2010, I reckon.
I fucking cannot understand how you could do that, because at least with mine, you had a break of running across the top
you
of the bay
down.
And then back down.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's 88 floors, I think.
Yes.
And I just did it just for the hell of it. And I didn't do any training or anything like that.
How do you not do it without training? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, I was like running around. I'm a fit guy. Straight. Yeah, yeah. But I think after about four flights, I was like, this isn't too bad. Yeah. And then about the fifth flight, it was like, this is fucking hell. And so I just walked up the next 83. Like, it was a nightmare.
And there's no oxygen, like there's no breeze coming through there. At least there at the G, you know, you're getting to the sun for some bits. It was really nice.
The main thing was about halfway through, I was like...
look at three quarters of the ground.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was really lovely bits.
Well, the main thing was about halfway through, I was like, really need to go to the toilet right now. And I said to the lady, you know, is there a toilet? And she's like, up the top. And I'm like, ooh,
is that why stairwells always stink of piss?
Well, I reckon.
Yeah, because people just go, oh, shit, it's too far.
I'm just taking a dump here.
Well, congratulations, mate.
Thank you, mate.
Is it just for shits and giggles, or was it a fundraiser?
The fundraiser was for leukemia. So, you know,
okay.
I am
a hero.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Hey, Taylor Garner got into a bit of action recently.
Mate, you go to Sydney, you fucking end up in a bit of trouble.
You went out with a few mates and I think a few players as well.
Well, he's an ex-North Melbourne player, Ryan Clark, plays for the Swans now. And so he was catching up with him. And they always say the exclusive Double Bay pub, the Golden Sheaf.
I know the Golden Sheaf.
Yeah, and I've been there. I would say it's just a fucking pub.
But it's in an exclusive area. Like Double Bay, like literally Malcolm Turnbull's office is like 100 metres from that pub.
So, I know what you're saying, but it's just a fucking pub. Like, it doesn't do anything different. It's just like...
No, you're right.
Full of better class cockheads.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, there'd be a lot... But I haven't said that. If you do go to the Golden Sheaf in Double Bay, I reckon fair chance you want to punch a cunt in the face.
Yeah.
Like, there would be a lot of fucking douchebags there.
I've flown up there just to do that.
Just to punch on.
Didn't even take carry-on, just went off the plane, Uber to the Golden Sheaf.
Sorry,
punched
mate.
A cunt in the face.
Buy your ticket.
Straight to the airport. You know, and the woman at Watermark thought I'd been in the shop the whole time.
You went into Flight Centre and they said, oh, I just want a trip to Sydney. And like, oh, you heading up for work? No, I just want to punch a cunt in the face.
I'd need a flight that lands at 4 and a flight that returns at 4:30.
Maybe a futures blogger, specific, who I wanted to hit.
So he's been suspended at this stage. They said he was intoxicated and drinking with a group of players, with friends from Sydney and the like. So he's seemingly, I don't know if I can say this, I'm going to say it, punched a dude in the face.
We broke his nose.
And broken the nose. Oh, no, actually, maybe, allegedly. I didn't say that. Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. Yeah. No, his nose, maybe the guy hadn't, nose was broken before he got there.
And
you know those times when you're like, fuck, my nose broken. I might go to an exclusive bar tonight. Hopefully no one hits me in it.
I've got a mate who's a similar affliction. He's like Taylor Garner, surname. Was that it? Was that the reason that the bloke baiting him about not really having a Christian name?
Oh, double names, yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
I think it might have been.
Isaac Heaney was there.
And he looked after the dude, right?
He looked after the dude that got bashed. And then he had to ring the Swans and say, mate, another footballer smashed this guy. I took care of him.
I'm a good egg.
Yeah, how good am I?
Yeah.
And they're like, peace be with you.
He said, how many times you have done the stadium stop? And he went, none. He said, oh, well, you're still second to Rosie.
You're a bit of a shit bloke.
And they talk about one of the problems being that Taylor didn't tell the club that it had happened. And so
Why would you? You don't know. Maybe sometimes, you know, when, like, if you and I are having a mucking around and I bust your nose, I don't know if you're going to complain about it.
No, no. I actually want you to keep your secret.
Yeah.
Because I don't want people to know that I went down sometimes from you.
But we do live in the world of self-reporting.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
He saw that. He saw what...
And North have very high standards. Luke McDonald, he dodged himself in for getting a parking fine the other day.
Is that right?
Yeah. He paid it. It wasn't like he defaulted. He paid it.
But you just never know.
Yeah.
You just don't know how the club's going to react.
Yeah.
Where were you? What street, mate?
Imagine if they had got out.
Yeah, you know that. You know that Arden Street. They're always fucking around here. Yeah. How many times do we have to tell you? Fuck, I'm sorry.
It's a city error, mate.
Yeah. So, hard. On the topic of North.
Well, Reece Shaw has to become coach now. They had a smashing win over Collingwood last night.
That is a big win.
Some 40 points. Demolished them.
So what if they won maybe 2 out of 4? Do you reckon?
No, he's won 3 from 4.
Won 3 from 4.
3 from 4?
He's only lost to GWS down in Hobes.
Traditional home of football.
Yeah.
So, Pickers came out this week. Our mate Pickers.
Liam
Pickering came out this week and he said
that... He wouldn't have said anything though.
Well, this is the first time he actually has said something.
Hang on.
He said that he has been contacted by North Melbourne about Horse and that Ben Buckley from North has also contacted Sydney, I believe, and said, hey, is it okay if we talk to Horse? So Horse is contracted till the end of 2020.
Yep.
Sydney's putting out the feelers now. Do they want to re-sign? While North is going to come in with a contract that Wayne Carey says, take Wayne Carey at his word, 1.8 for 5 years. Big bucks.
It is big. Can North afford that?
They have a war chest, Adam. They've got a war chest.
That's a good point.
And they've never got to spend the fucking war chest because no one wants to go to
the war
them.
Chest.
So they're not going to blow it on a player. They're going to blow it on a coach.
This will be the first big name they actually land.
They're going to assume General Blamey.
It'll actually be the first big name they actually land.
But is this... All right. So Liam Pickering has never taken a phone call ever. He doesn't know what anyone's doing. And all of a sudden he has said...
He had no idea until Gary Ablett signed the contract. He had no idea he was going.
Until Buddy Franklin... Went to Sydney.
Signed the contract, even though they'd been meeting with Sydney for a year previous.
He rang the landline in Sydney and Pickers was like, why is this O2, buddy? He goes, mate, I'm in Sydney. I'm signing for the Swans. He's like, fuck, I didn't know that.
They but
so why all of a sudden has he fucking done a 180?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Easy, because he wants to push Sydney's hand and say, you know, fork up the cash or whatever, get the big deal, because I've got the other people hanging around. And wait a few weeks, he might have St Kilda hanging around. Fuck, if you want to believe what people want to believe, fucking Hawthorne hanging around.
I know, Clarko's going to Carlton, mate.
So,
it's all good.
So obviously, they have to be seen to be looking for a big fish. And if Reece Shaw, all of a sudden, they start losing again, then, you know, they're gonna need a horse or a ruse.
They need a big name. I don't think North can be the kind of team that can get a no-name. They need a marquee coach.
That's true. But the thing is, it's so, yeah, but it's if so bizarre, isn't it?
But there's different things. There's, like, if I was playing a thing about moving and I saw the way North are playing at the moment under him, I'd go there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
they got a
as opposed to going, a bloke has been coaching for nearly 20 years in another club and comes in and is kind of in the back end of his coaching career. I'd be more excited about that.
About race.
The thing that annoys me the most about that is the untried. Is you go, but how do they become tried? Like Malthouse was fucking nothing. Clarkson was nothing. You know, before they became superstar coaches, they weren't always all in the system.
I remember being really annoyed when Hawthorn
chose Clarko.
When they missed out, on Terry Wallace and missed out on Rodney Ead. They were the two names going at the time. And then it was like, who's this bloke Clarko in an oversized suit walking out of Glenfree Oval? And you go, oh, fuck, this guy. Good luck.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the thing. It's like, they have to start somewhere, and they're not always in great systems. They don't always have to come out of the Hawthorn. How many fucking systems can people, can Hawthorn cough up?
Hey, do you want to go and watch a game in LA?
Now?
Right now.
Sure. I would.
Yeah.
The Giants are talking about playing a game in LA, which I actually quite like.
Yeah, I'd go.
I think it'd be fantastic.
I said there's 60,000.
I'd probably prefer Seattle.
Well,
just a cooler city.
Yeah,
Portland, Oregon.
Too
Portland would be great. Portland's more like Melbourne.
Yeah.
They said there are 60,000 people currently living in California from Australia.
Australians,
yeah. Therefore, they go, heck, we've got a pretty good, decent crowd there.
Yep.
And so the Giants are going to play. They want to play, I think, a preseason game in the fact at 4 points, but before the season starts.
Yeah.
So it's probably a bit rich to play it during the season, unless it's like the, unless they have like the one bye week where everybody gets off. Yeah.
So you're saying instead of Carlton and Richmond kicking off on Thursday, GWS kick off on the Wednesday.
Playing against someone.
10 days later.
Yes. No, you're right.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
They're playing at the Improv Club.
Well,
is it early in a late show?
Yeah.
Well, the big question, Damo, is actually the fact, like, where do you actually get the actual ground? Because there are some magnificent stadiums in LA, but they're all football stadiums or soccer stadiums.
Universal lot have got a ready-made AFL stadium. It's been, they just kind of make them now just in case there's a film.
Play the Skywalker Ranch.
Yeah.
Just out of San Fran.
What about out at Anaheim, out in, like, Disneyland, surely?
Yeah, or the loading dock of the Death Star.
Not bad.
Heaps
it's
of
pretty
room.
Big. As long as you don't keep it too high.
Yeah, animals got to be.
Yeah.
Disneyland would have some space. I think of all the places, LA is the place you'd be able to find.
Do you, in the middle of a game, if there's an earthquake, is it play on? What's your take on that?
Yeah. Well, as long as the ball hasn't kind of disappeared down a fissure, I think you just keep playing.
Okay, yep. Yeah, just play on, yeah. And if you're stuck on the fat side of the fissure...
Yeah,
it's bad luck.
It's just bad luck.
Yeah.
Just kicking into the fissure.
Yeah, if you make the switch over the fissure,
yeah,
that's tactics.
Imagine if, like, you got a free kick because your runner fell onto the ground, fell 55 meters onto the ground.
You know, actually, you've raised a very good question there. What actually happens if the runner comes on? Like, if the runner just went for fuck it, I'm going to run on the ground. Is that a free kick? Have they actually got a rule?
Yeah, it's absolutely a free kick.
Yeah, but did we know for sure if that's actually a free kick? Like, what do they do? Where's the free kick from? Is it from the back pocket? So why can't you just send the runner on?
If it's in the back pocket, then
just send the runner on, send the message out. Like, they talked last week about Buddy couldn't get on the ground because the runner couldn't get out there to tell people to come off.
Yep.
So for 10 minutes, he was off the ground. They say contributed maybe to the hamstring that he did. So if you're in a grand final, picture the scenario, grand final.
Fuck, a grand final.
Work experience kid doing the goal review.
In LA during an earthquake.
Yeah, you're sitting in HH23.
You're in the back pocket and then you got to get a message to the forward flank. Runner comes out, free kick
back pocket. Who gives a shit?
I don't really care because I've got to get the information out there.
That is a great question.
It'd have to be a free kick in front of goals.
Do you reckon?
I wonder.
And if they all came on, like if all your runners came on.
Because remember that time for a while when they had like an interchange mistake and they'd get a free kick and a 50-meter, I think I'm right?
Yeah, so they have a shot from the 50, wouldn't they? Which was the most awesome change they ever made.
There's some disturbing news. We'll wrap it up shortly, Damo and Adam, but we've got news from Easton Wood who says that he would take a pay cut to encourage reduced saturation of gambling companies in the AFL. And I have to say, Adam, that I agree entirely with this.
You?
I think we need to reduce the saturation of gambling companies
all of them.
Get rid of all of them except for one, and that would be Junk Bet.
Yep.
Junk Bet, Australia's finest betting company. For everybody out there, if you want to get your money on a game, anytime, anywhere, Junk Bet will take care of you.
Did you see the Bitcoin had a little bit of a... spike this week? That was thanks to JunkBet.
JunkBet's getting involved. We will take anything, Damo. Actually, Damo, if you want to bet on a game, more than happy to take your pay from the merger.
Yeah.
We're going to happy to look after that. We give you the sweetest odds that you can get.
On anything.
Mate, anything.
We had odds on the game in the merger, which is no other.
Wow.
And we would do that for people walking into the cinema. It'd be like, oh, we know who's going to win. You're like, no, I don't think you do. We used to recut it.
I wouldn't mind watching that.
When you're in the Balkans at the film festival, we were actually betting on like the reviews as people walked out. Yeah. We were like, what are they going to say? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, we were betting whether there'd be under or over 50% of people smoking in the cinema.
We're getting some ripods.
Our line was 3.5 stars. Were people darting in the cinema?
It was the only place that people weren't darting. The place where we filmed it, screened it in Belgrade, is like this... it's like Acme in Melbourne. It's like a museum. It's got the it's one of the top five film repositories in the entire world for a number of historical films. Yeah. But everywhere, it was the only place I didn't see people darting. I was in a cafe being interviewed by this kind of socialist newspaper, and the guy who was interviewing me had cerebral palsy as well, and he and my translator were both darting up like through the whole conversation. And at one point, and it was because he had cerebral palsy, just ash was just blowing all over me and down my leg. I looked around. The only other bloke in the cafe not smoking was the waiter, who had a pipe.
Hey, we should be more smoke. Shortly, we've got a football in real life, Adam. You reckon that's cool?
Hit me.
So here we are from Thomas. So we get an email, Damo, from people who spot footballers in their days about.
Mark Neal, Officeworks Carpa.
That's actually perfect. That's an archetype football in real life.
Yeah. Can I just
the more mundane, the better too. Yeah. Like,
can I just say that Mark Neal coming to your fucking house is next fucking level. That is unbelievable. Yeah,
yeah. Actually, Junk Time is out there. Did you have a Essendon coach come to your place and, you know, say sorry?
Yeah. Where does Woosha live? Do you know? Is he like an Ascot Vale?
Warehouse. I'm not sure.
Hurdy's Toorak. I could show you where Hurdy lived.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was already out there, mate.
And
we all know where Bomber lives.
Yeah.
So he had people door knocking his house, but for completely different reasons.
Yeah, fuck, man. That's got a bit
imagine,
rich,
yeah, imagine having, a, imagine having a door knock the Hells Angels Centre in Elphington. There's two Essendon members here. Fuck.
Yeah, like getting door knocked by Mark Neal's one thing. Getting door knocked by a dude with face tats is like a different level.
Called Bang Bang.
And he seemed to mosey in, kind of like, you know, I'm going to, from what he said.
He just fucking, he came to visit and he just fucking hung around.
Yeah, Bang Bang did the door knocks for Mark Thompson.
Oh, Bang Bang. Here we go from Thomas. By night, I'm an Uber driver in Geelong area. Ooh. Last weekend, the Cats' bye week corresponded with the end of exams for Deakin Uni students. Deakin Uni Geelong. Ever done a gig there, Damo?
Yep.
Yeah, ever done that one?
Yeah, I reckon I have.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
I've done every Deakin campus.
Yeah, yeah. The sweetest one was it Deakin Gippsland?
Yeah.
On a Saturday afternoon, you head down and you entertain for half an hour the kind of country students who would come in on the weekend to meet their shoots and stuff that. And it was a fucking nightmare. It was like 15 people. You were interrupting their lunchtime and it was shit.
Do you want to hear about my Deakin Warrnambool gig?
Yeah, go for
it. I'll do it quickly. I was doing a gig at all the campuses, actually talking to teachers, third year, about to graduate.
Because you're a former teacher.
Yeah. So kind of like a comedy chat, but, you know, just about career.
This
and
is what's going
to
happen.
And they got progressively shitter, and I got down to the Warrnambool one, and the lecture finished, and then everyone just left, and there was about 17 people left, and, like, they didn't really know why they were had to stick around. And some people kind of turned up, and it was one of those like down the floor stairs up the top. And I look, and there's a woman just like pushing a pram. It's a mature age student. And I started talking for about 5 minutes, and I can just hear her harumphing. And eventually she goes, "Excuse me, who are you and why are we here?"
It's the best review you had.
So she'd clearly been told to come in and was not happy.
Anyway, party time at the Cats. So the Geelong townspeople were particularly enthusiastic in their pursuit of some Saturday night frivolity. I was several hours into my shift, and thanks to the plentiful amount of surge fares, I was doing very well for myself when I received a trip request from a suburban street from a Mark with a 4.9 star rating. Good
work.
That's
high.
That's not bad.
Hell, Mark.
I got an Uber recently, and the guy was like, "I see your rating's been dropping, so if you give me 5, I'll give you 5. And I was like, "Yeah, that's a load of bullshit. You can't track my rating like that."
I think you can.
Anyway, I arrived.
Why is your Uber rating? You've been a bit of an asshole to Uber.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I'll have to look it up. Yeah.
What's yours at?
I actually haven't checked. I've got a very good story about an Uber rating that relates to you, but finish this first and I'll.
Yeah, we'll be the judges of whether it's a good story. I arrived at the street and couldn't spot anyone immediately waiting for me, so I pulled over and took the opportunity to catch up the latest witty and sardonic football-related tweets coming from the Junktime AFL Twitter feed. Until my periphery detected a huge blonde man making his way out of the house to my right.
Blixavs.
He strode right to the passenger side of my car, banged on the window when I rolled down to reveal Cats number 46, Mark Blixavs, yelling, "Is this the Uber for Mark?" I could have responded by saying the make, the model of my car registration identically matched the details on the app you're currently holding your hand. So what do you reckon, mate? But instead I said, yes. He had clearly been indulging in a few froths and he didn't. And I didn't want to do anything to detract from his enjoyment for the hedonism of bye week. He proceeded to fill the car with several of his rowdy friends, himself opting to wait behind for another trip. His friends were all very nice and complimented on how much of a legend he is for shouting them a trip to Geelong's iconic Sailor's Rest cocktail bar. When I arrived, his friends joked that I should rate Blix 2 stars, but then stressed that I should actually definitely give him 5 star because otherwise he would beat the shit out of them.
Can I just say, though, like they're really talking him up. I don't think there's a huge Uber fare in Geelong.
Yeah.
Like, unless he was like, you know, at Moggs Creek and goes, mate, I'll get the Uber back to Geelong.
Because Moggs is actually deceptively far from the heart of Geelong.
Fucking oath it is.
Yeah.
No, Paddy Dangerfield's travelling a fair way.
Yeah.
It's closer to Adelaide. He's. I don't know what he was thinking.
I don't know why he left.
So what do you got, Uber?
So this a couple of years ago.
I don't know where this story's going. That's why I'm worried.
It was during Melbourne Fringe, and you'd been doing a gig at the Comics Lounge, and we'd just been at Fringe, and we were with Kelly Gamola, comedy booker, and my wife Zilla. And you kind of came over and joined us, and then Zilla and you booked Ubers at about the same time, and you accidentally got in Zilla's.
Right.
And which can happen. It was fine, and drove off. And then we kind of realised it and the other one got cancelled. We had to book another one. Anyway, Zilla looked at her rating a couple of days later and she'd been... Because I don't know what had happened, but whoever it was had given her like a 1-star rating. had dropped her down to like 4.3 and she was livid. So whenever it brings... every time I look at her rating, I go, oh, Rosie's going, yes! Because she hasn't got a phone.
I wonder when she comes over on grand final day, she steals shit.
What Absolutely. Did you do then? Why did you get the
can't remember. I do remember that night. We were at the Fringe Festival Hub and I was quite drunk. But I...
You were all right. I think you were all right.
Was I?
Yeah, maybe holding it together. Blixav was knackered. He was right off.
I do wonder what we need to do to get an Uber thing. Like if I kind of, I don't, maybe not talk to people in the Uber. Like I'm wondering, like, does that take a point off? Like I don't do anything wrong.
You only do what they want. If they want to talk, then you talk. If they don't want to talk, then they don't. But can I just say, when they're like, oh, give me 5 stars. You go, a 5-star movie is one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
For you to get me from A to B without dying, that's not 5, mate. That's like 3, 3.5. That's fucking.
It's a bit thirsty. That's
Can I tell you my first memory of a footballer in a place, in a public place? Carl Dittrich, Preston Market.
Really?
Yeah. I was young enough, like he was massive. I just remember looking up at him. I was old enough to know who he was. I think I was like 6 and I just started collecting footy cards and I kind of recognised him from the footy card.
And did you say anything? Or you just like were in awe?
I was just kind of in awe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I followed him for a bit.
Were you a big one for autographs and stuff like that when you were little?
No, I was a bit shy. Mm-hmm. I remember being donating to the Good Friday Appeal and they said, do you want to speak to someone? I went, nah. They go, nah, you better be back for Essendon. Simon Madden's right next to me. I'm going, nah, I don't want to talk to him.
Yeah, well, fellow teacher.
Eventually got on, yeah.
I remember being told to get off the ground by Lee Matthews in a nice way, but I think it might have been 84-85 grand final. And my brother and I were kind of just at training at the grand final and we were walking within the boundary, not in the way. And he just said, hey, fellas, you might want to get off so you don't get hit by a ball or something.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so I walked up and I just fucking cow punched him.
Yeah,
as enough. He would have wanted. I saw Bruce Dool at the Greensboro Plaza when I was about 8, I reckon. And that was like, you know when you're little and you just don't think that footballers exist in the real world.
Yeah.
It's just so foreign. And I was like, it's fucking Bruce Dool.
Yeah.
And like, again, I wasn't going to go over and say anything to him. I was like 7 or 8. But I was like, fuck, he's legit.
Right there.
He's right there. Yeah. He's fucking exists.
Morris Rowley lived over the road from me when I was a little kid.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the classic one, Damien, you're my friend, Paul Collegia, a friend of the show, who was on a few weeks ago. The classic one for footballers in real life is Jim Jess used to run his local video shop.
Which is
just magical. That's just perfect. It's perfect in every aspect.
Yeah. Yeah, Mum had an affair with Phil Manessa.
Before the goal. We're going to hit the road. We are JunkTimeFOPod on Gmail, JunkTimeFOPod at Twitter and Facebook and the Gram. We're going to hit the road. Go Hawks.
Go Blues.
Promise.